Can you hear this?
Yes.
Is that going to be annoying if I'm doing that the entire show?
Probably.
But how about this one?
Yes, I can hear all of them.
So all of them.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mr. Pick. Chesco has a Pokeball. Welcome to Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater Show. I'm your host, Reagan, even though I don't hate men. Wait, I'm the man hater, even though I don't hate men.
I'm Reagan, even though I don't hate men.
And this is
Chesco, the speech prof.
For our audio listeners, he has put on glasses.
You probably don't recognize me right now.
I didn't. There's a stranger here.
Oh yeah, I'm also Mr. Pick Me, even though I've already been picked. Mm-hmm. These are. I've had these glasses for almost 2 years now, but I never wear them.
I know.
I do like them. They are. What's funny is you'd think that these cost a lot of money, but they were the only ones that they fit my head, and so my insurance covered them. And they're Gucci.
Oh my God.
Gucci glasses.
You have Gucci glasses.
Do they look Gucci?
So
I think they look good. I like them.
They look great.
They better.
I don't know what
they're Gucci.
I don't know what that is meant to look like, but.
So I got them 2 years ago. And the frame, they just felt odd. Like I just couldn't, like when I was, like, it hurt wearing them.
Oh.
And I was like my eyes would just start kind of like, not uh-huh. would not feel good. And I finally went and told her. She was like, you should have told me right away. Immediately.
Yeah.
Instead, mm-hmm. I just wore my old glasses. Because they were theoretically the same prescription. My
sure.
vision didn't change. And so it was like, fine, my old glasses are fine. And I just kind of left these in as my emergency backups because I lose my glasses so often. I haven't lost my glasses for the longest period of my life so far. Anyway, so I brought them back in, and she was like, do you have any issues with them? I was like, well, I don't wear these ever because they hurt my head. They hurt my eyes. And she was like, oh, let me check it out. And she was like, but they're the same prescription. And they checked it, and everything is fine. She was like, all right, but they said they're digital lenses, which is basically they're supposed to be like more accurate.
What?
Like the way that they make them.
Okay.
I don't know. Long story short, she believed me. I don't know how to explain it. I just don't like it. Feels weird when I'm wearing mm-hmm. it. And she checked. They're like they're identical because I brought both lenses in. They're the same. The only difference was that they made these lenses. If any ophthalmologists or ophthalmologists are in the optometrists or anything,
that's our number one demographic.
Demographic, I know, is that are in the audience. You can let us know. She said the only difference is that these were digital lenses, mm-hmm. meaning that, and that's just the process that they're creating it. And so, long story short, it was not a big copay to get new lenses. She was like, maybe there was an issue manufacturing, maybe it was something, and it's mm-hmm. just like for whatever reason your brain's picking up on it. And so we got new ones in, and they do seem to be better so far. So if you guys
that's
see me
good news.
In public, you guys should be like, are those Gucci? And I'll be like, well, let me look. Huh.
Oh, these Gucci?
I guess they are. Feeling Gucci today. Isn't that a term? Isn't that like a slang?
Yeah, you said Gucci. Yeah, like
Gucci,
it's good.
Like,
Gucci.
These are good, right? Mm-hmm. So I can literally be like, they'll be like, Chesco, how's it going today? I'll be like, well, Gucci.
Absolutely not. You cannot do that.
These visual things are going to go over well.
Oh, yeah. He put his glasses on when you said Gucci.
Well, I think it's funny that I am consistently doing visual pranks when 90% of our listeners listen mm-hmm. to us on audio podcast. So
yes, it is something you do, certainly.
It is a problem I have, and it's clearly not going to be fixed anytime soon. So
no, you're willfully going against.
We are both going to be using new cameras soon.
Yes.
For our show, so it's even more visual for our 90% audio listeners.
What? That didn't make sense, Chesco.
Yeah, that's the story of my life. I am jet lagged and tired and hungover from a week at a conference because I had alcohol when I am apparently too old to handle any alcohol whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so my brain is still it's chugging along, but it's still kind of like, whoa, 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 you got to change the oil in this bad boy.
What are you talking about?
What is happening right now? What did you do? What are you putting in my body? We were
You poisoned me.
That era was 20 years ago, you fool.
You can't do shots anymore.
I gave you a crippling anxiety disorder so you wouldn't put us in these situations anymore.
I tried to save you from you. Yes.
Ah, you fool.
Yeah, but jokes on that because you just drank more.
I did.
To silence it.
I silenced the anxiety with that. And this sounds like I have a drinking issue. I want to be clear. This is the first time I've drank in about, since I met you. That was what, like a year ago, 9 months ago, something like that? And probably the next time I drink might be at this conference next year. So if I'm invited, maybe I won't even go.
After that performance, after they're like, oh, he's wild. You see his Gucci glasses?
Did you see I didn't bring them. I should have brought, they were finished when I got home. So maybe that'll be the thing that pushes me over the edge next year.
Like, he's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool. Did you see he has Gucci glasses?
Digital lenses?
Really? What kind of glasses are they? Because they thought he was saying like they were cool. Gucci isn't this like cool glasses.
Got it.
No. Literal Gucci glasses.
Only in your fantasies would this conversation happen.
I know. There's no world.
Jessica's Gucci frames.
I have never in my life owned something with a designer label on it. And I think it's funny that it's my glasses because. They said they could have ordered me some, but the ones they had in store that they could use were
Gucci.
That were my size were Gucci, and they were like, and it looks like your insurance covers most
we'll
of
cover
it.
Cover it, like,
so
designer.
Like, well, that sounds Gucci to me.
You can't use the same joke, and that was again visual. He put on his glasses, everyone.
All right. Well, it was a good show, everybody.
What are we talking about today, Chesco?
I made a 49ers helmet.
That is not what we're talking about. I will not be talking about your fixation today.
Visual. I think that looked pretty cool. It's a gift for a friend of ours that she is a big 49ers fan.
Good to know.
We thought it would be fun to print her a little 49ers helmet.
Did you have a topic for today other than your 49ers helmet?
I don't know. Do people like when we're on topic? I think there have been complaints that we've been having like 30-minute long intros. So let's do it.
Let's do it. So tell us what we'll be listening to.
We are listening to the sad reality is that no one is talking about masculinity. Theme song.
There it is.
It's time. Mr. Pygmy and Man Hater to talk all the shit. So grab your popcorn, thank me later. Don't want to miss it.
Oh, no, that's what we're talking about?
It's just, you know, on the left, nobody seems to want to talk about it at all. It's just nobody.
Yeah, that's
ever
not been a trending topic.
Is talking, not at all. It's not like the left is like 99% of the people that are talking about it. No, on the left, we have a problem is that nobody is interested. You'll see the clip in a second, but I think what's really annoying to me is like, first off, I have a playlist of literally 200 videos talking about masculinity specifically, on those kind of things. Second, it's like, hey, check your algorithm, man. If they're not seeing it, there's a reason for it, right? You are responsible for your own algorithm. And if you are only if everyone around you is like, I don't fucking care about that. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about guns, or I don't know, whatever it is, then guns and boobs. That's the algorithm you built. That's not
that's
my
what
algorithm.
Dr. Mike's algorithm is.
No, this is his guest on the show. And I don't know, Dr.
Okay,
Mike's,
okay.
But he didn't challenge it. And this is, he did mention to somebody, he wrote in a comment somewhere, and it was a bad comment, like really defensive. He was like, this was a 3.5-hour conversation. No one's listening to fucking 3.5-hour
Dr. Mike,
conversation.
Be real.
And this is a problem I've had consistently with social media. And I say this, you know, as the two of us know, what I put in my page has to be understandable in the clip that I post.
Right.
Right? I'm responsible for that, for people knowing that. And I get sometimes there's something I might say, they're like, well, if you follow his page, you know he's being sarcastic or something. And
right,
I get,
sure.
But I do know that when I post with Mishakyu, sometimes I have sarcasm in my videos.
Shocking.
Shocking. Or when I do one of those things where I'm pretending to be like,
yes,
someone like thanking somebody or, you know, those, yes, kind of things. I accept that it's possible someone's going to see me for the first time with that and be like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? But, and if someone makes a, sure, video for me, I have to be like, I'm so sorry.
This was a joke.
It was a joke, but it's not even a joke. This is just saying like, oh, no. If you were to listen to the 3.5 hour conversation we had, then, right, you'd see that this was just one small
that it always
part of it.
Me.
But this is like, this is the minute you chose to post though, because you knew it was inflammatory. Right.
So what we're talking about is Dr. Mike, mm-hmm, who I feel like he's famous for Jubilee. He did him versus, yeah, a bunch of people.
I'm not trying to cancel Dr. Mike and this other guy. I'm not saying they're the shittiest. Yeah, this is not.
When does our thing ever cancel them?
No, because people are always like, what? They get really defensive. They're like, well, I really like this person.
You're still allowed to like this person.
They can still have moments of shittiness.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're allowed to like somebody.
What was it? Jubilee? It was like anti. What was he?
Anti-vax,
maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that, mm-hmm, was a very viral thing he did, but yeah, he's got a podcast and he. I haven't seen the clip. Chesco has just sent it to me.
Like I said, I'm not saying that either of these guys are shitty individuals. My point is, this is the clip they put out there. And whether it's, if it's his like producer or whoever that put this out there, then you got to have a conversation with them, because this is now what everybody is going to assume the entire episode's about, because this is the viral first clip that you posted. And the comment section was not happy with it. We'll say that, but.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
No one in liberal circles likes talking about masculinity. It's almost like if I bring up boys and masculinity, it's like, well, wait a minute. You've had a good run. Boys are doing this to themselves. Look, you are only struggling because you had all these societal advantages that are now being stripped away. And oh no, boo-hoo, now your boys are struggling right now because, you know, they have to play the same game that girls have to do. Now it's even. Well, no, there's still a lot of ways in which sexism exists. There's a lot of ways in which boys have an advantage, and yet 1/4 of them do not have a friend. And yet 40% of young men who need help for depression do not get it. And they're less likely to go to college. And they're less likely now to graduate high school. What's happening here?
1/4 of men don't have a friend?
I think there is some sort of a stat that says something similar to that. Like someone they consider to be like a close friend. It is a problem. Here's the issue.
That's an outrageous, that 1/4 of men do not have maybe a good friend, but have a single person that they are friends with.
I don't even care. I do care. My point is, what I'm saying, I don't care. I don't want to prove him right and saying, I don't give a fuck about men when they're problems. My point is, the things he's bringing up are all problems with the patriarchy. Like, assuming they're true. Yeah, because the patriarchy fucks over men and women, right? These, mm-hmm, are all issues. And the only people talking about that are on the left.
You think, right, people on the right are having meaningful conversations about men not having friends?
No, right? They might complain about it. They might be upset. Right. They might be like, yeah, our boys are struggling. I fucking agree. They are struggling, right? You know what's causing this shit? Is this fucking system that we are in that harms them, right? And then the only people that have been trying to deconstruct this shit forever, right? Oftentimes, and this is Barrett Powell made a video about this, and, mm-hmm, it's true. A lot of the men that have been talking about this for years have been gay men who are not listened to because they're gay, right? And there's a lot of researches, like feminisms. Bell Hooks talked about I mentioned her book, Will to Change, like years ago. Like the idea of masculinity and how this patriarchal, violent patriarchal thing and how it harms men and boys has been talked about forever, but it was women talking about it. And so they didn't listen to it. If you're not hearing about it, that's because there's a misogyny issue on the left and the people that you're talking on all across the political spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. But the people that you're talking to aren't talking about it because they believe in the system fucking over boys and men and women and girls, right? The ones that are fucking over people across the gender spectrum that end up, you know, harming our trans brothers and sisters, that are harming all of our non-binary friends and family, mm-hmm. right? All of these people are getting fucked over by the same system. And to go online and say, like, nobody on the left wants to have conversations about this. I'm like, no, they don't want to have the conversation. And I don't want to read too much into it without seeing the full 3-minute episode. But anyone saying that typically has been along the Galloway line of like, no, they don't want to talk about it in the way that you want it talked about.
Right.
Right. It's not that no one's talking about it. It's that they don't want to talk about it in a sense of cultural reversion, what I've always talked about, of going back to the days when, because men still have more power. That's the other part. So I'm going on a big rant right now because I've clearly been thinking about this clip for a few days. But he wants to talk about like, and he tries to like hedge by saying, and of course men still have advantages and there's still things there, but that's the reality is like I think they want to act like, oh, things are equal now and that's the issue. Like, no, they're not. They're still not equal. Right. They're still not close to being equal. There's still so much systemic issues that go on.
I feel like the problem here is like they want to have conversations without context, and that's not going to happen. Like they want to just say, well, men are struggling and men aren't going to college and blah blah blah, and it's like, right. And we hear that, but here's all these other factors that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they get mad. It's like they want to have conversations without feedback. Right. And I think that is a product of the patriarchy.
Absolutely.
Is that they think they should be able to just talk about these things and not have any pushback. And that's just not the world we live in. Like, I don't know a single woman. I don't know a single person of color. I don't know a single like non-binary trans person that ever has the expectations that they can just say whatever they want and not get pushback. Like, most people are used to being critiqued and most people are used to having their opinions challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, like, again, I don't even think it's necessarily people aren't agreeing with their point. I think people want to add context because, yes, you know, there is the issue with men going to college and there is the issue of men having friends. But we also have to look at the context of things. And when you have like staggering rates of violence against women, when, you know, the loneliness they are feeling is due to the fact that they think they are owed women, and also because the patriarchy sets up a system in which friendship and intimacy amongst friends that are not women becomes seen as, you know, not manly and is looked down upon. Like, you have to look at the full context of why these things are happening. And they just want to say, well, these bad things are happening to men and we need to fix it and we need to talk about it. It's like, we have talked about it. We've been talking about it. Like, our world is made to cater to men's needs. So it's, of course we've been talking about it. But now we just want to have the full context of why it's happening and how the timing of these conversations happen to be when women are getting more rights. When women are outpacing men. Now we want to talk about the other things. So it's like, yeah, we are bringing that into the conversation because why is it only now that we're talking about it? And so I think it's ridiculous to be mad that people want to bring up other elements that impact the conversation. It's like, you don't get to just dictate what the conversation is. Like, oh, well, we're only going to talk about men and not talk about any of the other things. That's not how you solve an issue. Do you just want to complain? Is that what you're looking to do? Because that's what it sounds like. Because if you're not looking for like all the facts and all the context, then I can only assume you're looking to just vent about whatever frustration and want us to cater to that. And that's the problem. That's literally what patriarchy is set up to do. That's not going to solve anything.
The other side of it too, that once again makes me really upset, there's this shock that there are people exist who don't give a fuck. Right? Like, honestly, like, these people that have been harming and oppressing and hurting, you know, me for women for generations are going through something. And I'm, you know, everyone that follows me knows I'm very measured on these sort of things. Sure. I do believe we should be helped. I don't want my son to suffer, right? I do care about those things. I don't want men to suffer. I think I would love to get to a position where we are all better. But I'm also not mad at, like, when a woman who has been systemically harmed for her entire life by men is not like, you know what, you're right, let's fucking focus.
Drop everything.
100% on men. Or, like, if a white person was being, if someone, a black person was like, you know what, I don't feel that bad right now that a white person is going through this. That's kind of, we see this politically right now with, like, the reason why the Trump administration is finally getting talked about is because it's actually hurting white people.
Yeah.
Right. And white men. And
like farmers. And,
yeah. There's actually like the pushback. The reality is, and this is not my idea or notion, but the reality is if you have been a black or a brown person in this country, this sort of oppression has been happening for as long as you've been around, right? This is not a new thing. The reason things are getting talked about is this unprecedented times. It's unprecedented for people to look like me.
The white people.
Yeah. It is not unprecedented for a huge number of people within our country who've had to deal with, you know, police violence and state sanctioned violence against them for all this time.
That's the thing too. It's like you're asking, I think it is a lot of time asking women to, or just not cis men generally, to have sympathy, empathy, and want to fix an issue that they have bared the burden of, in the sense of it is historically an issue of men taking out their pain violently on women, wanting to control women, wanting to subdue women, wanting to make them cater to them. Like not only just have power over them, but set up a system in which it is an expectation that women cater to men, cater to their emotions, fix their problems. So when women have been screaming, you're hurting us, you're harming us, you're not dealing with your shit, you're putting it all on us, and finally are moving away from men or having better boundaries with men or not taking as much shit from men because they've been abused by men who are not in control of their emotions and are not emotionally regulated, you know, like aren't having intimate friendships, aren't taking care of their mental health. Now for them to be like, oh, you don't care. It's like, oh, we've been caring. Like, who do you think has bared the brunt of that? All of us have been doing that. Like, we have been doing that. And now we're saying, hey, you don't get to harm us anymore. And now you want to be like, oh, you don't care. It's like, of course. And I know he's talking about the left, but like a lot of times it feels like we're talking about women because I rarely hear, I don't hear as much men calling out other men as I hear men calling out women for not being empathetic enough. It's rare that I there are some creators that will call out other men and be like, we need to talk on this more. But when it comes to like, you're judging us, the tone of like, oh, boo hoo, that's definitely aimed at women. Like there's no way that's aimed at other
absolutely.
Men.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
It's very infuriating to me because like, it's the same thing as like when women have a negative viewpoint of men because of how they've suffered. And then men are like, oh, well, you just hate men. Like, oh, you're just unempathetic. You don't care. You don't care to listen. Where do you think women got that viewpoint from? Do you think they just decided one day they don't like men? Or do you think they were there for men? Like most women have trauma because they have been there for men. They've been close enough to men to be harmed by them. Whether that's an intimate relationships, friendships, whether that's a parent. Like that is where the trauma comes from, is that they were willing to sit there and then they did take abuse because they were close and did care. I don't know, any of my friends, I can't think of a single person who doesn't have trauma from that, from caring. And so putting forth this idea that it's just this unempathetic group of people who are like, boo-hoo, men. It's like, that is not how we got here. And pretending that is so disingenuous to the dynamics of the patriarchy and the pain and suffering. Like, basically, they're like, you don't care about us. But that is presenting the fact that you have not cared about the women. You want us to care about the men after decades of not caring about women, and you are feeling the effects of that apathy. Women are now giving you the same energy, and now all of a sudden they want to be like, oh, you don't even care. You don't even care about us. How dare you? It's like, dude, that shows your privilege. I mean, it's the same thing as politically. Now people are like, hey, actually, this kind of sucks. It's been sucking. Like, it's been horrible. It's just now affecting you. And, like, in this case, it's like, this is your, and I guess in politically, too, it's like, you chose this. You've been loving it. You've been happy with your decisions. Like, you've been liking the patriarchy, you know, or you've been liking your politics until now. And now when people just don't all of a sudden cater to you, mother you, whatever, you're pissed. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. It is so self-centered and egotistical.
Right. And it's very, to your point, when he, the way he mocked, oh, boo-hoo, he was very clearly not saying, oh, men are not talking about us. He's very, it's like this coded way of like pushing it without having to say, why are women being so mean to men right now? There was a therapist that responded to us in the comments. She said, I work with a lot of men that are going through this, that are finally seeking therapy, that are out of depression. And the consistent string among all of them is it's the reason it took them so long to seek help is because men were telling them that they were weak for doing these sort of things, that they shouldn't be doing those sort of things. Man up, right? Get tougher about those. And that is a harm that is there that we've been talking about once again for decades and decades about how harmful this shit is. But it's still, it was offset by all of the benefits of the patriarchy toward men. Right. It was offset by the system that was benefiting us so tremendously and still does. And it annoys me when people act like we did it, everybody. We're done. We don't have any issues with sexism anymore. We finally,
we haven't closed the pay gap. Like, what do you mean?
We're losing rights actively. It's like there are symbolic things that look equal now, right? You know, it's
They're talking about college. We're and outpacing them in the workforce. That's pretty much.
Well, it's the fact that you can't technically not hire someone because she's a woman, right? I guess I'm saying that. But like on paper, you know, that is an achievement. That is good. I'm happy you can't do that anymore. I'm happy you can't just be like, well, you're the best qualified, but we're afraid at a certain point you're going to want to make babies. And we don't
And you might menstruate, and that's scary.
And then once a month, can we give you a week off every month? Is that a possible? We can't just handle that. We can't afford that.
Well, it's also like they still know you're women. So, like, you do get treated differently in the workplace. You get paid differently. Titles are different when you're women. Like, that's one of the ways that they hide pay discrepancy is to give different titles. Like, that's been proven. So, it's just ridiculous. I actually looked up the friendship quote, and there was a survey. The Survey Center on American Life showed that 1 in 5 to 1 in 4 men report having zero close
friends.
Okay. Close friendships, which again is different than 1 in 4 men don't have any friends.
Right.
That's different. But I also think again, like, and you kind of speak into this just a second ago, but like the intimacy that the lack of intimacy man to man is so alarming to me. Like, I cannot tell you how this literally just happened. I had men working in my house. We talked about this in the pre-show. I had all this flooding and crazy stuff, but I have men on a regular basis, men I do not know, unload stuff to me, trauma dump, or just share personal details that, like, I'm like, this should not be to me. Like, this should be to a therapist, to your point about there are men that seek therapy. Like, men are bubbling over. There are so many men who don't clearly have friends that they're talking to. Like, all my friends are, like, all my friendships, I'm sure I have some casual friends where it's like, oh, you run into them. But my friends, I would not be scared to talk to them about anything. Like, they all know my personal life. And this idea that so many men, like not only don't, are able to talk about their intimate life with their friends, but literally refuse. Like, I remember I was at, I think I've told the story before, but I was at work and, like, it was like a training and one of the guys there was joking about him going to the bar with it, like his coworkers, and his wife was like, what do you guys talk about? And he was like, I don't go there to talk. I go there to not think about anything. Ha ha ha. And it was like, I was like, so you don't talk to your friends about stuff. Like, that was, it was a joke, but it was like, that was the true statement, is that he doesn't share real shit with his friends. And it's like, That's all in your fucking court. Like, I think that's really sad. I think that's quite upsetting, actually. Like, I think about what my life would be like if I couldn't talk to my friends. Like, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Of course, you could try, but it's also like, dudes, like, you guys need to work it out within yourself. Like, it's patriarchy. It's men. It's men not being able to talk to their friends. It's men not being able to be friends with women without sexualizing them.
Well, can I touch on that, too? Because I do think that's, like, one of the more insidious parts of the patriarchy. I do think this is – because there are people that would disagree with me on this one that are agreeing on this overall topic, but that about men and women being friends, right? And I do – I think that the whole talking point of men and women not being able to be friends is a patriarchal like virus that is meant to keep reinforcing it. Because if men are becoming friends with women, if they are having these close, non-sexual, intimate relationships with other women, they might actually start questioning some of the insidious shit and the lessons that we are being told. And they might actually start humanizing the women they are dating.
100%. Right?
They might start feeling actual human empathy. But if you aren't friends with any of them, if the only interactions you have are with women in a dating context, a dating or family context, right? But really it's dating context I'm talking about, then it's much easier to continue turning them into objects, right? To look 100%. At them as a less than being.
And it also, like, I think it's originally stems from like cheating culture, like where it's like, oh, well, if a man is friends with, like, what are we supposed to do? Like, of course we cheated. Like, men and women can't, like, that. That is where I hear the argument the most is like in that weird context of cheating,
right?
Or like, clearly a partner might cheat or has cheated, and then they have like hard lines about friends. I do think it's true that due to patriarchal conditioning, a lot of men won't be friends with women unless they're attracted to them.
Right.
And think there's a chance. But again, that's part of the problem. That's not, I don't think that's a solid truth. I think that's socializing.
Or because people think there's no such thing as platonic friendships with women, then they're afraid that if they're seen with this woman that is a platonic friend that isn't beautiful, then they're going to be judged once again by who? Other men.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just, I think we're facilitating the same dynamics. If you think like that, it will always be that way. Like, if you convince yourself that men and women can't be friends, heterosexual men and heterosexual women cannot be friends, it's always going to be like that. And that means relationships will either be like family or they will be romantic. Like, and that is so confusing, and that's why, like, I think that's why so many men are inappropriate with women, because they literally don't know how to engage in a non-sexual way, and they don't know, like, where the boundaries are or how to hold boundaries. Or they probably – I don't want to say they don't know how, but they don't. They probably know how, but they've been socialized in a way where they're like, oh, I got to at least try. I got to at least see if there's a chance, you know? And it's like, until we can see each other as people, like – where everything is not sexualized, like, we're never going to be able to understand each other. If you only see someone as a sexual object, like, no, you're not going to get to know them. And, like, it's just infuriating because, like, women have had to bear the brunt of, again, of that mentality, I guess. They've had to bear the brunt of, like, oh, men only interact with me if they want something from me. And I have to be careful around men all the time, and I never know what they're going to do. And if I'm wrong, I could die or I could be assaulted. Like, it's high risk for women. And so for these women who have been in essentially like fight or flight with men, because you kind of have to be, because you don't know. Like, literally a wrong move with a man could end so badly. And then men to be like, well, you don't even care how I feel. You don't even care about my feelings. I'm like, you're killing us. You're literally killing us, attacking us. I have a hard time having empathy for but I don't think boo-hoo men have problems. I think there's all these other things that are going on, and that you having problems is a product of a system that you not only put in place but keep in place.
Because the question is not why don't we care about men, it's why aren't we fully centering men with no accountability. You know, that is what I don't understand. Why are you expecting us to still have accountability for this centuries, millennia of actions of men.
Right.
We're hurting right now, though. So, like, we should just, let's just start up. Well, you know what? I know this only really benefits us. Let's start over. Let's start from scratch.
I don't see color. You're like, what? Yeah.
What is happening, right?
No, you don't get to take away all the oppression. Sorry.
I do think also I understand, and it's every woman I talk to, and this is, I'm going to overgeneralize here for a second, but like every time I talk to a woman that also believes that men and women can't be friends, it's almost every single, I actually can't think of a time when it wasn't because of this, because a guy they thought they were friends with crossed the line. Or was I, or tried to hit on them, or did something inappropriate when they were drinking together,
or their partner crossed the line.
Yeah, something like where it's very specifically, it's because they've experienced it. Every guy I know says it because they're like, because I want to fuck every single woman that I'm close to. It's a very different reasoning, and I think there's nuance there that people aren't willing to acknowledge. So I don't, if you're a woman that's listening to this, this is not a judgment on that aspect, on your lived experience, in the same way that, you know, with so many other condition things. But when it's what I'm specifically, when I get so angry about it, it's because men are now harming more women because of the fact that they are not developing the empathy that comes along with human interactions. Because they're also, to you, what you brought up earlier, are not getting that with other men either, right? There's no way.
Well, and like, I want to be clear. Yeah, we're talking about socialization. Men are socialized to see women sexually and have trouble being friends with them, but not inherently is that the case. Mm-hmm. And I think claiming that it is just the way men and women are is very detrimental to both parties. I also want to be clear. We're not saying give men access to women.
No, not at all. It's not the job of women to.
Even with friendships, it's like, that's not what I mean. I don't mean like, because that is an argument. There is an argument that women should have to try to rehabilitate
these
men.
Which is absurd. Yeah.
I mean, this was back when Dr. K, when I was getting into it with Dr. K, one of his arguments was like, that we should take a certain amount of damage to rehabilitate them. And it's like, absolutely fucking not.
No.
We already have. Also, didn't help anyone. Women caring has never been the problem. Like, historically, women have been forced to care. Women did not have an option. Women had to take this treatment, regardless of how they felt. Their feelings were irrelevant. They had to harbor and hold these things for men. So that is not the solution. That's been happening, and we have not seen a change. Like, catering to men has been what we've been doing. So this idea that, oh, well, we're not catering to them, it's like, you just aren't used to accountability. You aren't used to having conversations where you're getting feedback, because it's not an issue of masculinity. We're all talking about it. Like, women, men, like, how much of our feeds is this?
I know.
It's like, it's not that. It's that you want to have your conversation your way with only empathy from other people. But that is the patriarchy. That is misogyny. That your belief is, I should get to say what I want to say and have no pushback from anybody, even if it's people who have been harmed, because my viewpoint is important and I dictate the tone. That is literally privilege in a nutshell. And that's what he's presenting. And it's like, that's not the reality of the world. Everyone gets to have an opinion, and you just don't want feedback or pushback or another point of view. And I'm sorry, that's not how it's going to be.
Yeah, they don't understand why, because it's also, it's not, they're not, they're not consciously outwardly saying, all right, what, how, sometimes they are, but they're saying, how much can we sacrifice women to get men propped back up to where they are? They're not.
Although Dr. K did talk about.
We talked about that before, there was in general, though, it's usually not said that way, especially not on the left, especially from left-leaning men that are more knowledgeable about this sort of stuff. They're not saying that verbatim, but the implication is still there, right? The effect, I guess I should say, is if when you, they didn't say that when we have to sacrifice women's rights and autonomy and all those sort of things, but when you actually look at what they're saying, if you're actually able to like think a step forward, the end result is, oh yeah, how do we make women more subservient again, so that we can bring back men up to where they quote unquote should be, right, as the lead and everything.
And I mean, forced empathy is being subservient. Like, I don't think they want to act like those are the same, but it's like, if you are asking women to go against their safety, if you're asking mm-hmm. them to go against their history, that they should just, that they have to be kind and watch their tone and be careful and, mm-hmm. and, you know, not say the wrong thing and make sure they're being very loving and nurturing, because that's what women are. We're nurturing, right? I know he's said left, but the boo-hoo is very clear to me who he's talking mm-hmm. to. Like, if that is what you are demanding of women, like, you are asking them to present in a very certain way to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. So, yes, I think subservient, I think, is an excellent description of the behaviors they are requesting. Mm-hmm. And again, it's so weird to me that these men are being like, I just don't get it, which is like, you have a group of people who have had power and privilege, who have actively harmed and continue to harm. You have people out there saying crazy stuff like women shouldn't vote anymore. Like, if anything, there's been an uptick in that type of misogynistic rhetoric. And you see all this, and then you say, I don't understand why people don't have sympathy for us saying, well, we're hurt. It's like, of course you understand. Like, if you put that mm-hmm. in any other context, of course they would. Like, if you put it with white and a person of color,
mm-hmm.
I would assume they would know why that is bad. But, like, just in this dynamic, because it affects you in a different way, you don't get it. It's like the centering is so overwhelming. The lack of empathy towards the other groups, like, where it's just like, you just don't care about our stuff. It's like you're comparing, like, your emotions with actual physical harm, mm-hmm. rights being taken away, actual damage. Yes, it is hard when looking at the scale of harm to solely focus. And again, it's like, it's not even just they're asking to talk about it. They're wanting to talk about it their way, because mm-hmm. lots of people are talking about it, but that's not good enough. They want to mm-hmm. talk about it their way. And it's like, yeah, you're centering yourself and showing your privilege. I don't know how else this cannot be clear to you other mm-hmm. than you're so privileged that you're like, pushback is mean. Mm-hmm. Any other voice is mean. You're being mean to us. It's like every other group has had to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre to hear.
Well, I think another good example of that is how if you look in, because once again, in these massive circles that are talking about this, a term that you're seeing less and less and less of is the term toxic masculinity.
Right.
Right. Because it immediately shuts down. And all that anyway is talking about is that term anymore, as opposed to what we're actually, the point of what was being brought up. Even if I were to say, toxic masculinity hurts men, they'd still be like, well, why do you think masculinity is so toxic? It's like, shut the fuck up.
You're actually doing the opposite, though. You're yeah. saying that masculinity isn't inherently mm-hmm. bad.
Right.
That's why you
right.
put toxic at the front. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, I'm like, okay, so yeah. you can't wait. If you have so much privilege that you mm-hmm. can argue over, like, the descriptor, of a mm-hmm. idea rather than the actual thing,
mm-hmm.
you need to look in the mirror. Like, there are so many people that fight over these, like, small details. Well, you said that wrong. Well, I didn't like your tone. It's like, you won't even look at the actual like, meat of what I'm saying. Like,
right.
you have the privilege to cast aside what I'm saying because you don't like a word I use. You don't like the tone of my voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. To me, it's like, you just don't want to hear it. Like, just mm-hmm. say you don't want to hear it. Don't pretend like toxic threw you off. Because mm-hmm. again, if anything, that is saying masculinity is not inherently toxic, mm-hmm. which is why I put toxic in front of it.
And we can't even get to the point where I'm annoyed that we even make certain, like, we gender certain traits in general. Like, that's always,
same.
I always, like, I hate that in order to have these conversations, I have to just be like, all right, I can't even, because if I were to be like, when you get to the point of deconstructing masculinity from a feminist perspective, the notion of deconstructing the even very idea of why we gender certain types of
100%.
Things is the problem that goes there. And I wrote an essay about this where I was like, of course, if you tell young men that, let's use being competitive. Competition is a masculine trait.
Mm-hmm.
Then there shouldn't be able to be a toxic version of that, right? Because mm-hmm. you are, how can you, if that is a inherently manly thing, mm-hmm. what do you mean doing too much of it is bad? Right. That doesn't make any sense. That's what I should be trying to do as much as possible, right? But the toxic level of it is when you have no safeties on, when you have no things in there to understand why this could be harming people for the sake of it, because empathy and emotional intelligence, you've been told to, no, don't do those things.
Right.
Don't have any sort of pathos about the people that you're talking to or understanding what their viewpoints and their perspectives. That's what women should be good at, right? That's what women should be focusing
on. It is crazy that all the things that are feminine put women in caretaking roles. It's wild interesting. How that works,
right?
Yeah, like being like assertive and powerful and successful.
Confidence, we really kind of, and financial literacy.
Go-getter. We really aim that towards men. It's almost like it's designed that way.
Because, it's weird because, like, my penis does not affect that at all. Like, there's not anything specifically in that part of my genitalia. It's like what I hate when people have the conversation, is it a boy's toy or is it a girl's toy?
That's so dumb.
I did not see a part of that toy where I insert my penis, right? There was nothing there that I needed that
so
to.
So bizarre.
Like, it's such a stupid thing. Is it a boy color or a girl color? And we're having the grown-up version of that conversation, right? Is that a boy trait or a girl trait? Is that a manly trait? Is that a masculine trait or is it a feminine trait? And it's not to say you can't be in your masculine or in your feminine or whatever that people want to talk about that make them feel good or better about themselves. I'm not even going to open that can of worms right now. But the idea is we should all be aiming to be whole human beings, right? That are using that thing that makes being assertive or any of these number confident in attractive and beautiful and a great quality is that you have a guardrail on it. That doesn't mean you'll sacrifice everyone around you in order to be that. That doesn't make you cocky instead of overconfidence because you're able to understand that you should be thinking about other people and having that in your mind. And that if you get to the point where you're just overly confident, you end up stagnating because you are not actually trying to be better anymore, those kind of things. But all of this whole humanity that we should all be aiming for has gotten so dialed down to these numbers of what is right for men and women and what it means is natural for them to act like, that especially in a modern society where we aren't hunter-gatherers anymore, we aren't doing... There's literally nothing out here that on paper, at least, once again, the only reasons why there are still these systemic issues are because we've chosen to continue making women, people of color, trans people, et cetera, to in these lower roles or rungs while we continue to oppress them in certain ways. But as far as if you were to look at the system as it's supposed to be, then none of that should matter anymore, right? The gender that was marked on my birth certificate should not be the thing that decides whether or not I'm going to be a CEO one day.
I mean, I really think that's part of the reason they are so terrified of like non-binary people and trans people. Because like, no, you have to say, if I have power, I get to keep it. There's no world in which I'm not, there's no world in which that changes. It's like they definitely put... like a different perspective on things, even being gay, like being in a relationship with a woman, like gender roles, you're like, oh, I don't have to do any of that shit, actually. Like, we just do what makes sense and take care of each other. Like, I get nervous when people are in their feminine and that just means they're like starting to let, like the men are starting to take over their life. Like, I totally get this idea that like, if you are truly loved by someone and you feel safe with someone, of course you're more calm, you're more relaxed, you're able to do softer. Like, but that should be true of men, any gender. Right. Like if you are safe, you are able to do more things. That is, you know, quote unquote feminine, but it's also just being safe. And it's like, I get scared. Like, I have seen really strong, independent women start to be less independent. Control starts to be taken from them in certain ways by the men they're around in pursuit of being in their feminine. And it's like, that's great, but that can also be very dangerous if he changes up or he wants to be controlling or he wants to leave and he has taken away, like, you know, your job, your ability to make money for yourself. Like, I don't know. I think... we need to start questioning. I'm in the same boat as you. We're like, we need to start questioning this system at all. Mm-hmm. Like the way that we categorize things, because it also makes things seem like they're in people's nature. Mm-hmm. That like, I don't think, like if a man is being aggressive to you, like that's not in his nature. No. He's choosing to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, just like I know women who hate kids, like they're not nurturing. Right.
It's like, what's wrong with me? Nothing. That's just who you are. You are a person. You're an individual human being that doesn't want those sort of things. Yeah.
But it, when we start making it, oh, that's just how they are. Like a lot mm-hmm. of really toxic behavior gets mm-hmm. ignored because like, oh, you know, it's the whole, oh, you know how men are. Mm-hmm. Oh, boys will be boys. Like it's just, I think like with women, it doesn't look as detrimental. It doesn't get as scary. Mm-hmm. There's not as many feminine traits that if you express, you'd be like, well, you know how women right. are.
Right.
You probably hear that if women are being emotional would be my guess how you'd hear it. But like mm-hmm. when it's boys will be boys or you know how men are, those traits are usually pretty bad.
Right.
And they're usually doing something bad. And it's like, no, they chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
These are all active choices. Just like if these men were in a bad situation, it's like, There are outlets. Like you could, you know, see a therapist. You can't afford a therapist. You could go to like social things. Like there are different avenues for help. Mm-hmm. There's free like hotlines now. There's different resources. And instead of having conversations about those resources and how mm-hmm. to get there, we're having conversations about, well, people just don't care and boo. It's like, that's not productive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a productive conversation. Like if there's not a resource, then be the resource. Why are we talking about, like, what's the point other than in my mind to bully women mm-hmm. into being nicer, into catering?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I feel like these conversations are, because I don't know what the outcome is meant to be
mm-hmm.
other than to shame people into having a softer touch with men.
Mm-hmm.
That, honestly.
And I think part of the issue, just kind of once again backing out, zooming out, we keep zooming out a little bit more, I think is that there is no objective reality, I think, that we're living in nowadays, sure. right? Even less, probably less than ever before, right? Everything is subjectively coded and painted by our algorithm, by
right.
the things that we are given access to or interacting with on a daily basis. And so what we view as the most important thing to somebody else seems inconsequential, even right. if we technically agree. Like, I had a conversation with, it was actually a really good conversation. It was about Scott Galloway. Not to bring up my buddy again. And for anyone new, I don't like Scott. That's the whole nother podcast. We've done podcasts on him.
Been there.
But the person I was talking to said, I don't get it, because there's a political creator. They're like, he has brought a lot of conservative guys to the left, though. I've met them. There are a lot of guys that he has pulled over that are in this toxic thing because of the. But I'm like, yeah, but he's doing it by promising the same like misogyny, but under a liberal lens, right? I was like, you don't see the problem with it. Well, yeah, but and they're like, well, but at the end of the day, we got to win elections. So I was like. And I don't want this to sound judgmental, because I do think the conversation is more nuanced than what I'm saying right here. But it's like, it's what do I think is going to be the most harmful? I personally think that if the only way to win an election is by sacrificing women, right, by going back to 1990s, early 2000s, 1980s masculinity, whatever decade you want to go into and say of power structures, then it's just going to happen again. Like, what are we even doing then at that point?
Well, it's also like you're potentially doing harm to the group.
Mm-hmm.
These men aren't healed. Like, it's right. different if, like, these men are doing the work and are mm-hmm. healthy and feel whole and mm-hmm. don't want to participate in, you know, patriarchal values and mm-hmm. see women as equal and – if that was the conversation, that's a much different conversation of meeting people.
Right.
Like, hey, these guys have done the work. They want support or they mm-hmm. want to be in the community. That's a different conversation than these conversations, which is, now these men are not healed. These men mm-hmm. don't have friends. They don't know how to socialize. They have bad views on women.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, most of the time,
mm-hmm.
like they don't know how to function as a good community member.
Mm-hmm.
and you're asking everyone to welcome them into community.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting at risk other members of that community by welcoming people in and catering to people who have not done the work
mm-hmm.
to be good community members. And to me, that is such a dangerous idea and one that I do not support. It's like, if you do the work, like I am definitely willing to meet people. Like mm-hmm. Like I said, people that work on my house, I'm having like emotional conversations right. with. I constantly am talking, like, I think it would shock people as a man hater, resident man hater,
mm-hmm.
how many conversations I have with men I don't even know mm-hmm. about emotional topics. There are times I do not mind doing that. If I am choosing to do so and I'm in the place to do so and they are clearly trying to move in a positive direction,
mm-hmm.
that's different than saying you have to do this. It's not a choice. And they're not in a good place, but welcoming mm-hmm. them in anyways. Like, I'm not willing to harm myself, my friends, my family, my community in order to rehabilitate a man who I don't know can be rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. I don't know what damage he can do. Like, that is not a fair ask mm-hmm. of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something where that should be handled within that group, is my opinion. Like, of people, because, like, if you're misogynist, then who are you going to harm? Women.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a racist, who are you going to harm? A different race, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if it's men, like, I think men are the solution for men because mm-hmm. they're not going to treat them that way. They're not going to be at risk, hopefully, for the harm that they would do to women. And that should be healed within that community.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can meet up. But I think it is completely unrealistic, unfair, and potentially harmful to ask communities that are harmed by these men to mm-hmm. accept them in before they have done the work to be good community members.
Absolutely. And to your, just to add on one other layer of that too, when men are doing that work to try to deconstruct this stuff, it is safer for them, you know, sure. as well to be the messengers. Like when I'm making this, I've talked about that before, I rarely get a, not that I want them to have them, but like death threats or mm. threats of violence against me, right? Because I'm still, even if they are calling, questioning my sexuality or questioning my manhood or doing whatever they want to that they think is going to be somehow affect me gotcha. In some way or another. Oh, man, you called me a cuck. Oh, man, oh, that hurts so bad.
How can I live?
Oh, my loving wife. Why would you, that hurts more than me knowing what the reality of my world is. Oh, but if that helps you.
If it helps you.
That doesn't hurt me at all. And so I'm able to continue doing this work without really having, you know, there might be exceptions here and there, but really sure. having to worry as nearly as much as women that are doing the exact same work, getting doxxed and getting threats and getting, you know, messages, all these really, really horrible things being done to them for not saying anything that's even nearly as cutting as what I'm saying.
I mean, that's a really good point. It's also like the harm. It's the same thing as like why I will get into fights with people because I don't mm-hmm. necessarily think people of color should be mm-hmm. having to fight certain things because I know that other white person, which, you know, happens all the time, there's nothing they can really say to me that's mm-hmm. going to cut deep. I don't have like generational trauma. Mm-hmm. There's no word, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? There's no, there's no trauma they can really get to because mm-hmm. I don't care how healed you are. Like there's certain things and words that hold weight and can hurt regardless.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I feel the same way with like this situation. It's like people shouldn't be subjected to certain amounts of harm. And like, if you're a part of that community, you're probably not going to get harmed in the same way as another community, right? Like mm-hmm. if you are in the privileged community, like what are they going to say to you that's going to harm you? It's easier to have conversations. Also, mm-hmm. you can check each other without harm happening because mm-hmm. if you bring in other communities, they could say something foul and mm-hmm. maybe, you know, maybe they even say something they don't know that is as bad as it is. Like, let's give the most grace possible. No one should be subjected to that harm. Mm-hmm. If it's within your community, like you can say, oh, hey, by the way, you should not say that, dude. Mm-hmm. That is not like that's really misogynistic what you just said. And no woman will be harmed in the healing of whatever that is, right?
Right.
So it's like, it is safer to talk amongst ourselves, but it's like, I feel like they want women. They just want women,
mm-hmm.
femme presenting, everybody else to get involved because like, who does movements? Like who mm-hmm. really does, who has been like forced into the healer role and helping with healing and emotions? It's like, yeah, it's been women's, but it's like, you kind of lost your privilege to that. mm-hmm. by the way that you treated them. So
absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have access in the way that you want, and that's kind of why I think you're freaking out a little bit. But you don't have the right to damage people in your pursuit of healing. I think that's the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's a good good button to the conversation.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. Sorry we missed how many weeks? 1 week?
I think it was just 1 week, yeah.
Our YouTube will be late, YouTube but it will be up.
Yeah.
I was very, very ill, but now I'm feeling better, and my child is in camp, so we're back on schedule.
And I was at a conference, but I'm back.
Yes, we're all good. Here.
Which,
we're
by the way, I was out plastered at this conference with a bunch of like 12 women, and you know what happened? We had a really fun night. It was a fun night out with friends, having a good time.
Wow.
It's shocking how that can happen.
Alcohol and no boundaries crossed? That's incredible.
Wild, right?
The red pillars aren't right.
They're not. What is going on? Well, it's because I'm gay. That's what it is.
You're gay, man.
We've been telling them. That's the only possible solution here. It's like that.
Did you just come out? Anyways, friends, thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the Patreon. We have a full episode every week. It's always unhinged, but a good time. Check out our socials. And other than that, friends, we will see you next time.
Love you all. Bye.
Love you. Bye.